We are intimately linked in this harvest work. Anyone who accepts what you do accepts me, the one who sent you. Anyone who accepts what I do accepts my Creator who sent me. Accepting a message of God is as good as being God's messenger. Accepting someone's help is as good as giving someone's help. This is a large work that I have called you into. But don't be overwhelmed. It is best to start small. Give a cool cup of water to someone who is thirsty, for instance. This smallest act of giving or receiving makes you a true apprentice, and you won't lose out on a thing. All right, so, you know, this is a pretty simple message. We try to figure out how do we as a community behave, how do we evangelize, how do we let people know what it is to be a Christian. And it occurred to me when I was reading this, and those of you at home, if you've read the title, you will probably, if you watch a lot of TV and old shows, you may or may not recognize the title of the sermon. But if you're my age or close to my age, then the title of the sermon makes sense to you. Now, for those that are here, how many understand the title of the sermon? 1, 2, 3. Okay, yeah. I know Dan does.
Didn't do grill cream.
Well, he knows what it was, even though he didn't know it. Now
Dan,
I have...
Did you know?
I've heard of it.
You didn't know where it came from. Yeah, it was back in the 60s, folks. And when they were... Yep, a little dab will do you. And it was...
Before Moose.
Back when Jimmy Dean...
That's what they... That was Moose.
...licked back and all of that kind of stuff. But the reason I titled the sermon that is because Jesus made an incredibly important statement. We spend way too much time getting all complicated about ministry. We spend way too much time trying to do the big thing, the flashy thing, the thing that we've got to send off to the government and get them to give us money. When Jesus said, no, a little dab will do you.
Oh, you don't think we need those little signs out front?
Well, do you? Start small. Because even when you start small and you give, the person that you give to is also part of that ministry. And so that got me to thinking, and I wanted to make sure I said this right, so I'm going to do something that my mother hated when I wrote particular notes down. But 25 years ago, actually almost 30 years ago, let's see, 1984 to now, 29 years ago.
Actually, 39 years ago.
When Billy and I came into your midst.
39,
okay. Now that we've got the math right. For the most part, all of you in this community welcomed us into your hearts, into your homes. You welcomed us at your weddings, your birthdays, your anniversaries, your baptisms, your funerals, and your memorials. You gathered with us at Christmas and Easter, Mother's Day and Thanksgiving, and all kinds of other times at the Braves ball games, and some of you with me to see the Thrashers play hockey over the years. Gay Pride, countless venues that we shared together. You have shared yourselves, shared the fellowship of your table with Billy and I. You have offered us the fruits of your gardens. You've delighted us and assured us with your camaraderie and a good game of cards. Amen?
Uno.
But more than this, you have ministered to us. You have offered us a cup of cold water. You have blessed and strengthened us when there was a need. And today's gospel is exactly about that. The willingness for us to sit back and examine ourselves about what we do spiritually. And hear me when I say it doesn't have to be complicated. It can just be a cup of cold water. So I want to come back to these questions for you to think about today. What does it mean to welcome somebody in the name of Christ? How do we do that in this church? How do we make this house of God a home? I remember the First Christian Church in Decatur, when we first went into our office space, they take making their church a home and a community home seriously. Do you know that when their congregation voted to let us have that office space and basically the run of the building so that we could do our ministry, when we entered the room after they had voted, they didn't tell us a vote number. They stood up in mass and walked towards the leadership of our church with their hands outstretched saying, "Welcome home." I've never forgotten that.
Amen, for sure.
Because that, my friends, is the very definition of what a church service ought to be about. When somebody steps into this boundary of what we're calling the church, the first words out of our mouth ought to be, "Welcome. Welcome home. You are safe here." How do we make this congregation a community of love and family? Well, you know, there's three things that we can do. If you're taking notes, May Marie. One is you make a covenant. You will notice that in our church, if you dig very deep about our church, we no longer have membership. If you're here, you're part of the fellowship. You can take the next step and make covenant. And what's a covenant? A covenant is where you're invested in that person's invested in you, and God is right in the middle of it. So we're not looking, that's why we say, own your faith, don't rent it. We're not looking to give you a lease that you have to follow the rules to be a part of this community or fellowship. There's a covenant that says, you pray for us, we will pray for you. You need a visit, we'll come visit you. You get to come visit us. You need a cup of cold water, and we will provide that. Number two, it's about hospitality. And there is no bigger example of that. And he didn't know that when he started doing this, that was God leading right into this message this week. But when Dan stepped forth because of the whole COVID thing and we weren't being able to do food the way we were used to, and he stepped forth and said, "You know what? I'm a chef. I like cooking." And there it is. There every week that he's here. It's a cup of cold water. Amen? It's small. It's not a big deal. And we praise God for all the effort that goes in to making sure that we get something to eat on Sundays. And the third thing, the other thing about hospitality is there should be nobody that's afraid to come into this church. First words I've noticed for new folks when they come here is that the issue becomes they get overwhelmed by all the attention. Amen. It's pretty hard to just sneak in here and just be here. Although we need to learn to watch that and let people be if people want to be. But the bottom line is, for the most part, we practice the same thing the First Christian Church of Decatur does. Welcome home. If you're on our Facebook page, I know that there's other people, and Facebook tries to do it through that meta stuff to get it into marketing and making money and all that kind of stuff. That is not what we're about, folks. We are here so that you know that God loves you unconditionally. And finally, the third point. Always remember that you're not above anybody. Everybody is on the same footing. You're no better than anybody else. Just because you got a house and a roof over your head doesn't mean you're any better than the person who's unhoused. Just because you're not dealing with a drug issue doesn't mean you're any better than them. We all have our challenges. We all need God. And to hear God say, "You are wonderfully and uniquely made in my image." And folks, that's enough. So what little dab will do you? I just love it, man. A little dab will do you. You're called to give just a little bit. You're called to welcome just a little bit. You're called to be merciful. Even just a little dab of mercy will go a long way. We are called to be humble just a little bit. I once read a story about a church group that was doing, supporting a family in missionary work. And they wanted to do something special for them for Christmas. And so they had gathered, they had found out the information they needed for the people that were missionaries, the size clothes, what they like to eat, you know, what kind of toys the kids might like, all of that. And they gathered it all and they put it in a big barrel. And they were going to ship it to the missionaries. And at the last minute, just before they got ready to ship it, this person from the church comes in with this brand new, expensive overcoat. And the person who was in charge of it looked at the coat and said, "This isn't going to fit any of the missionaries." And the person who was giving it didn't care. They said, "This is my gift." Dropped the coat and left. And they all sat there and went, "What the hell are we going to do with this? It doesn't fit any of us either." And some people that were part of that whole thing were kind of offended that somebody would just bring in that coat and not even take the time to consider who was receiving the gifts. And finally, somebody in the room that was kind of bright and smart said, "You know, it's going to make great packing material.
Yep.
We'll put the coat in there and just make sure the stuff doesn't move around, and it'll help stuff not get broken shipping." So they shipped the barrel over there. And by the time the barrel had arrived, winter had also arrived in this area, and it was incredibly, incredibly cold. There was a terrible storm going on. And in the middle of that, there's a knock at the missionary's door. They open it up, and here is a person who is unhoused there, damn near froze to death, frozen. They invite him in, give him some food, but they don't have any clothes to give him because there's nothing in that barrel that was for him. Until the little boy said, "You know, that coat might fit you. How about that?" It started out as being a gift that somebody just wanted to give to be giving. It started out as a gift that nobody wanted because they didn't have any use for it. But friends, I'm going to leave this with you. No matter how small the act, God always has a way to use it. God bless you this morning.